Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Austin Lewis, and I'm a student at Arkansas State University. And today I'm going to talk to you about field validation of irrigation planting tools in major Arkansas row crops. To start off, just to give you a brief background about myself, as I just stated, I go to Arkansas State University, which is located in Jonesboro, Arkansas. My advisors are Dr. Reva, which you just heard from, and Dr. Teague, who is in the back of the room. I'm currently working on the CIG grant, which is the Arkansas Conservation Innovation Grant. It's a state grant that funds my research, and I'm currently what collaborates with NRCS, the University of Arkansas Department of Agriculture, and Delta Plastics, as well as the commercial producers that allow us to work on their properties. So the purpose of my research, as I stated in the title, is to validate a furrow irrigation design program, whether we refer to it as FIDP for short. And if you're not aware of these programs, some of them allude to is FAUCET, which is the pipe hole and universal crown evaluation tool, which is designed by NRCS, and also pipe planner, which is designed by Delta Plastics. And the idea is to stimulate the adoption of FIDPs for irrigation management, which we've heard that we're having an issue with using too much water to water crops and a depleting aquifer. So to continue, my justification for this is Arkansas ranks in the top amongst U.S. states with irrigated acreage, which we're number four, and the amount applied acreage, which we rank second. With production costs rising and changes in weather, irrigation management is the key to solving our irrigation problems that are currently being faced. And the issue, as I stated, the aquifer level is decreasing due to increasing irrigation, and has been for a few years. And something else we look at is the water quality, which is decreasing due to nutrient-rich excess water runoff. So what are the benefits of the furrow irrigation design programs? The hope is to distribute the water uniformly down the furrows, and also using the FIDPs can lower water usage by as much as 25%, and it can reduce excessive water runoff, which as a result degrades the water quality. And if you can use a program like this, it can also cut fuel costs or electricity costs or whatever you use to water your field to use for your pump. And it can reduce labor costs. So to get you started, give you a kind of a visual what I was doing, we selected six fields that we were going to study, ranging from 32 to 75 acres. Three of the fields were cotton fields, which were located in Judd Hill, Arkansas, and the producer was Marty White and his son Jesse Fly. And the field that we were looking at, as I said, was a cotton crop, and they typically didn't do any rotation. Well, no consistent rotation. The next set of fields we were looking at were three soybean fields, which were located in Osceola, Arkansas, Mississippi County, and the producer was Mike Sullivan, and he rotates every season with from soybeans to rice. And just for purpose of the pipe planner, or with the FIDPs, we wanted to look at fields that hadn't been recently leveled. So we wanted something to really compare to. So just to give you a picture, this is Judd Hill, where we select the cotton fields at. As you can see, there used to be a pivot here a long time ago, and they swapped to polytubing. And this is the top field up here, is the one that was the 65 acre ones, which you see up here in the caption. And there are two fields at the bottom of the map, which are right here, that are it was a 75 acre field, which we split to monitor the water, the advancement in there, because it was such a large field that they had to water it separately. The next field is Sullivan's Fields, which was in Osceola, as I stated, and we picked fields that kind of had a variability of sand and clay. And also this field right here, this is a 38 acre field that we looked at. It was kind of a consistent field, so we could have something to look at also. And we also want to look at an oddly shaped field, which is at the far bottom down there, highlighted in blue. We want to test the effectiveness of using a furrow irrigation design program. So to give you a background, if you're not familiar with the Fur Irrigation Design Program, Pipe Planner. Pipe Planner was utilized on each of the fields, and what you typically do is you have to get information from the fields in order to input the information into Pipe Planner to get what you need. And some of those inputs include, you need the furrow spacing for one, furrow lengths. Some farmers irrigate differently. They either use every furrow for water or every other furrow, so you need that information. That's very important. Elevation change on along the polytubing path, just to see if there's any fluctuation as far as elevation along there, because that can cause a difference in pressure buildup. The pipe length and the discharge of the well in gallons per minute. And the output is you get the type and size of polypipe you'll need for the irrigation event, and you'll need to know the size and the number of irrigations, and it'll give you an estimated time required for an effective irrigation. So to give you just a little example, this was from a field at Judd Hill that we ran the pipe planner on, and you can see that for the flow rate it was about roughly 1100 gallons per minute, and it suggested that we use, 20 acres, and I believe the polypipe size was, 15, if I'm not mistaken, 15 inches. And what this program did is it tried to say that you punch certain holes in the polypipe, which for here it said a half inch hole size would get it effectively uniformly down the furrow about 98%. So that's that. For the research plans, what we plan to do was characterize the fields by looking at the crops, which I showed you the pictures of the cotton fields and the soybean fields where we're going to look at. And we want to look at the soil textures by using the varus, the flow rates, looking at flow meters, discharge water, looking at pressure transducers, and data collection, looking at data loggers. But the main focus for this research was to track the irrigation advancement rate down the furrows. Which is we used a series of water detecting probes placed in the middle and the bottom of selected furrows in the fields. So just to give you a little background about a varus, which is pictured at the bottom of the screen if you've never seen one. The varus characterizes soil textures across fields, which it tells you whether it's sandy or if it's more clayey. It measures the level of electrical conductivity in the soil to tell you whether or not it's more sandy or clay, and it determines the extreme variability of clay and sand located throughout the field. But however, I would like to point out, is not used in pipe planner programming. And we want to use soil sampling so we can go back, like after we put the various information into a computer, we can use soil sampling to validate, okay, the various set that there's a sand over here, let's go validate that by doing a soil sample. To continue, we use flow meters, which flow meters with data loggers were placed on each of the wells of the study fields to measure the amount of water that was being put onto the fields. And the data loggers were on the flow meters to record when the irrigation started and ended, and as well as the amount of water that was being put through the pump. And the data was collected after each irrigation event. The pressure transducer, which I like to use the picture at the bottom you can see the water running off the field, usually have discharge pipes at the edge of your field so the water can go into a ditch, which goes into a bigger ditch. And the pressure transducer measures the amount of water that's coming off the field, so we'll know how much water is being pretty much lost on the field, so you'll have an idea of that. And these are the water detecting probes that we build in our lab to make this happen as far as tracking the advancement of the water. And just the sensors will be deployed before an irrigation event would begin, and they would remain in the field throughout the season. And the sensors will record the moment the water reaches the middle of the furrows and when it reaches the end. So we put sensors in the middle of the field and at the bottom of the field. But, of course, in Arkansas this past season, we had lots of rain. So this really screwed with my research. So to continue, we had an opportunity to surface at Wilde Farm in Leesville, Arkansas, which, just to give you a little background, he grows cotton, corn, sorghum, and soybeans. The field of interest was a cotton field with no rotation in the last decade. And Mr. Wilde, he noticed that his cotton needed irrigating, which presented an opportunity for me to get to test my sensors. So just to talk about a little bit, Dr. Teague was doing a little study on the field with the use of polyacrylamide, and we were going to look at the use of polyacrylamide versus the traditional method of just doing nothing, just letting the water run through the field and with a pipe cleaner. So just to give you a little background about PAM, it's a soil stabilizer that essentially binds the soil particles so that once the water hits that PAM that you have exposed out in the field, it kind of just forces the water to glide across the top of the soil, in layman's terms. And we just wanted to track the irrigation advancement across both of the two. We wanted to compare them. So just to give you a quick field setup, what we did, we took 108 rows that were out in the field and divided them into six sets of 18 rows, and the furrows were about 600 feet in length. The middle six rows were of interest because this is where Dr. Teague was going to get a yield from, so that's where we wanted to deploy the sensors to make sure we were utilizing the information correct. So as I showed you earlier about the inputs for pipe cleaner, we gathered that the flow was about 2,000 gallons per minute, and we got all the rest of the required information, and it concluded that we needed 18-inch poly tubing, which we would have to punch 3/4-inch hole sizes in order to make it go uniformly down the furrows. And Dr. Teague and her technician actually manually put out the PAM every 80 feet per row in those six middle rows in order to test out the PAM. Just to give you a visual of the information that we were collecting from the sensors, this, I know you couldn't see the top, so I decided to blow it up into a bigger screen, but the first row right there is essentially a timestamp, so we can see exactly when the water would hit a particular sensor associated with the weatherproof box. So we have the timestamp as well as the GPS unit, so we would know exactly where the sensor was in the field, and we also added a serial number so we would know which sensor went to which, because we actually built a lot of these sensors. And the bottom, the last three rows right here, you see they're the thresholds that we were using in order to try to get the sensors, so if water hit a spot we would know it at that exact time. So once the threshold was reached, the numbers would change from 0 to 1, and we would know that exact what time it hit. So just to jump into the results and discussion quickly, for the traditional method, when we looked at it, it was a rough, the water reached the sensors anywhere in the middle of the row from 12:55 to 1:35 p.m., and it reached the bottom of the field between 3:55 and 4:35 p.m., which is roughly about 7 hours. For the PAM treated method, when PAM was applied, for the middle rows is about 11:35 to 12:10 p.m., and for the bottom it was about 1:40 to 2:05 p.m., which is what the sensors told us, which is roughly 5 hours. So the difference between those methods are 2 hours. And PAM is quicker, but appeared to have not soaked into the ground as fast as the traditional method. So for future research, since this was kind of just a planning stage that we were trying to get used to, and we still have a lot of work to do with these sensors before we actually start getting out there with them. But I would like to test the sensors during the season without excess precipitation in multiple locations. Hopefully we can have another dry year, but I know farmers would probably cringe at that, but I need it for my research. We want to incorporate radios into the sensor boxes so that the sensors in the immediate area can communicate with each other, which leads us to the incorporating a wireless connectivity into the sensor boxes for wireless downloading, so that instead of opening the boxes and trying to get the data out manually, we can just download the data from a computer or some kind of mobile device. And we want to deploy the pressure transducers to measure the runoff in the field. I would like to acknowledge the sponsors of my research, which are ARS, USDA, Delta Plaxis, Cotton Incorporated, Arkansas State University, University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture, as well as the Judd Hill Foundation for funding. And if you didn't get enough information from me, I would like to point you to one of my colleagues, Jack Chu. He's going to be in the 315 poster session. His poster number is 50, and he can tell you a lot more about the sensors that we use because he's the one that built them.